This is Marketplace. I'm Rima Khreis. Over the last year or so, I'm sure you've seen one of these videos on social media. I'm talking about clips of airline passengers or customers at grocery stores basically lashing out, being disruptive, yelling, or even assaulting employees. A lot of times it's over having to wear a mask. Other times, shoppers are feeling short-fused over slow service. And this is not all just anecdotal. With airlines, for example, so far this year, they've reported more unruly passengers than they have in any full year since they began collecting this kind of data back in 1995. Amanda Mull is a staff writer at The Atlantic, and she wrote about all of this in a recent article titled American Shoppers Are a Nightmare. She explains how America's ultra-tense political climate, along with the traumas of the pandemic, have created more animosity. Amanda, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So your argument is that yes, things may be worse now, but consumers being difficult, for lack of a better word, is nothing new. And that, in fact, we were conditioned to be this way. What do you mean by that?
Well, consumerism as an idea is only about 150 years old. And it was created sort of as an outgrowth of industrialization and specifically the second industrial revolution. That really ramped up the ability of corporations to produce products, everything from food to home furnishings at a really large scale, really efficiently. Before that, most people grew a lot of their own food. They made things in their homes. They sewed their own clothes. But the sort of scaled up production abilities created a need for scaled up sales abilities, which is where you get the sort of culture of shopping that we have now.
I mean, that makes sense. And you wrote that back in the 19th century, people were not a big fan of corporate power and that department stores had to essentially convince people that shopping benefits the community. How did they do that? How did retailers win people over?
Corporate power was just not popular among people who weren't a part of the ownership class. This is also an outgrowth of industrialization. And so what department store owners had to do was convince people that actually they and not the working class were the people who had their eye out for the interests of regular people. And they did that in a lot of really creative, really expensive ways. Department stores, they didn't just have shopping. They also had post offices and medical facilities and restaurants and cultural events. So they just lavished this growing group of middle-income people with all kinds of perks.
Yeah. It sounds like they were treating them more like guests than customers. And I guess when you have a guest, like, what do? You make them feel good. You pamper them, make them feel happy.
Yes. This is the era in which calling customers guests became sort of normal, became a thing that people did. And businesses still do that all the time. I think a lot of retailers especially refer to their customers as their guests.
And in building their businesses this way, you argue that department stores were, in essence, building something much larger, and that is class consciousness. Can you talk about that?
Yes. During the Gilded Age, as an outgrowth of industrialization, the sort of working class split into two. One of these groups was the production laborers, people who worked in factories, who were trying to go on strike, trying to fight for their labor rights. So you get those people, and then you get this sort of like office worker class. And what department stores did essentially was convince this new growing middle class office worker demographic that they were more like rich people than they were like industrial workers.
Made them feel special.
And they did. Yes, they made them feel special. They made them feel served. They did that through these stores. They provided access to servants, basically. If you were a department store customer, you could sort of like rent a servant for a while, while you were choosing a new scarf or a perfume. You could have that access to that feeling of being wealthy and upper class and respected and served.
So I want to end by bringing this back to the service workers. You argue that for them, this dynamic is incredibly taxing and that they're doing a lot of emotional labor. Emotional labor is a phrase we hear a lot now. But what do you mean by it in this context?
Yes, it specifically is designed to talk about people who are at their paid jobs and are required to stifle their own emotional reactions to how they're being treated in order to, in the case of most customer service workers, sort of appease and soothe them. And it's a real skill. I have worked customer service. I've worked at big box stores. Being able to sort of like keep yourself under control in a situation in which people are just losing control at you is really, really psychologically difficult.
Yeah. Amanda Moll is a staff writer at The Atlantic, where you can check out her article titled Pandemic Shoppers Are a Nightmare. Thanks so much, Amanda.
Thank you for having me.